A warmer friendly hello! Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you as we're going to be joined momentarily by Wes Reynolds. He does an incredible job here at VSiN. He, much like myself, put in some great work with regards to our college basketball betting guide, and we're going to be talking about his contributions. A lot of it is based out there in the Big Ten, so this is going to be a very Big Ten heavy conversation. We're going to talk about some of the features that he's looking at as well. I think that he's, much like myself, not going full bore into futures. He's got a little bit more than myself because I very much am not a futures player. I'm a individual player. So if you're a little bit disappointed by the lack of futures talk that there has been on the podcast during the offseason, have no fear. On that first Monday in November, the picks and analysis on every single game, every single day, they are going to be back. So what I have not been providing with regards to futures, I will be paying back in full force there. But Wes, he's such a wealth of knowledge with regards to so many different things. He does a great job on the football front, the golf front, with all of his write-ups over on VSiN, the Long Shots podcast, and so much more. And we're going to have a great chat with him. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you hear podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter / X timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letters CM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. While I did not get in any Twitter/X questions today, everything is powered by EdgeBoost. EdgeBoost is making sure that bettors are able to have access to their funds whenever and wherever. With EdgeBoost, 100% of gambling transactions do get approved. And when you go to edgeboost.bet as well, make sure you put in that promo code of Greg, G-R-E-G. That gets you a $1-for-$1 match on your first deposit up to $25. We're not seeing a ton of like earth-shattering college basketball news and notes. I am very much keeping note of some of these injuries that are going down, though. Like, I know that UNLV, it was announced by Mr. Josh Pastner, the first-year head coach over there, that they are dealing with a lot of injuries for that opener against UT Martin. I know that John Rothstein put this out, that Miles Shea and Isaac Williamson are going to be out for that game. That's a team that I'm very much going to be looking out for. We were talking about Villanova a little bit earlier in the week with Rob Donaldson. That's a team that's dealing with some injuries. Michigan, a team that we're going to be diving in on quite a bit as well with our good friend in Wes Reynolds. They're not dealing with like a rash of injuries or anything like that, but I know that Morris Johnson and Ade Mara, they were both dealing with a little bit of stuff. Should be good to go in their exhibition matchup against St. John's, but those are the sorts of things that I'm going to be looking at here in the next week or two, and obviously you're going to be getting much more of that when I do the game-to-game breakdowns. That is going to be starting up in a week and a half, and a man that does such just an incredible job of looking at this game of college basketball, it is Wes Reynolds. You're able to follow him on Twitter/X at his first and last name, Wes Reynolds, the number one altogether. And Wes, it's been too long since I've had you on this podcast. You did a great job with the guide and always appreciate it, my friend. Thank you so much.
Great to be with you, Greg.
And it's always great to have you aboard, Wes. And Wes, you, much like myself, put in some great work with the college basketball betting guide. We're both men from the Midwest, yourself being from the great state of Indiana, myself from Wisconsin. I know that your main beat with regards to the betting guide was the Big Ten, and I want to get your thoughts as to what you all unearthed and what you were able to find out as you were doing your research for the college basketball betting guide, and just how you take a look at things, whether that be to the positive or the negative, some things that maybe you change your mind upon, and just nuggets in general that you found interesting that you were able to unearth for the betting guide.
And we did the Big Ten for the guide in terms of a write-up, so a lot of my work was on that conference and, you know, looking to see. It was a pretty good year for the Big Ten last year. They were 18-9 in postseason play. I had 4 in the Sweet 16, 1 in the Elite 8, but still have not won a national title since the year 2000 when Michigan State and the Flintstones did it for Tom Izzo.
And the Maryland title does not count. They were in the ACC.
Right. No, I don't count that. And plus, they beat my alma mater in the championship game. So we like to forget about that one. But yeah, Purdue, they've got the goods to win the whole thing. I think it'd be a disappointment if they didn't reach the Final Four. They were Sweet 16 last year. But if you look at Purdue, they didn't have Zach Edey first year without him. So you had to play Trey Kaufman-Wren out of position, you know, at the five. Now he's going to be able to be the four this year because you have Daniel Jacobson back from his injury. And you also have the South Dakota State transfer. as well, Clough. So Purdue is one of the only teams in major college basketball that return a starting backcourt that is going to be together now in its fourth season. So a lot of expectations for the Boilers. You know, some turnover in the conference, four new head coaches at Indiana, at Iowa, at Maryland, and also at Minnesota. Probably a lot to ask for them to compete in their first year, at least to compete to win the conference. But we shall see. Iowa has some continuity with all the Drake kids coming with Ben McCollum, but keep in mind these guys were Division II players 2 years ago. So can they, you know, withstand the rigors and the athleticism upgrade that they're going to get in the Big Ten every single night?
Yep, and I do think that that is going to be interesting to look at, because we recall Drake was one of, if not the slowest team in all of college basketball last season. Iowa was a super duper up-tempo team under Fran McCaffrey, and I think that there might be a lot of value in terms of betting on Iowa this year, just because we don't necessarily know what to expect, because if you go back to the D2 days of Ben McCollum, he never played quite as slowly as he did over at Drake a season ago, and I think there might be actually a little bit of an overcorrection as a result.
Could be. I think that they will be a little bit more on the deliberate side. I don't think they'll be in the 350s in adjusted tempo like they were at Drake, but you know, you've got to go with what you can do. And I don't think that they want to necessarily run up and down with the more athletic teams, with especially the faster teams like an Illinois or a Michigan or a team like that, that's going to be higher. Wisconsin going to be up there, I think, in tempo. That was kind of the biggest change we saw from last year, is that all of a sudden they opened up that offense up there in Madison. And you know, we're averaging over 80 a game. I think that's the all-time record for Wisconsin in school history, and would expect them to do the same. Five out, space the shooters, and you know, that's how you play in modern day college basketball if you don't have like a dominant post guy, which very few teams do. But you know, at the top of the heap is, I think, Purdue with Braden Smith coming back. He's gonna maybe be the Big Ten player of the year again, although Lindeborg, the UAB transfer that's now at Michigan, is certainly gonna have something to say about that. Michigan, by the way, one of the best portal classes in the country. I think they were ranked second in 24/7 sports, with Lindeborg coming in, with Elliott Cadeau coming in from North Carolina. So Dusty May, they got good NIL up there for Michigan basketball, and they're putting it to good use. There's a lot of talent on that team.
Oh, there certainly is, and we'll dive in on that, as we do have Wes Reynolds, who does such an incredible job here at VSiN, both on the college basketball front, and obviously does an amazing job with golf with the podcast Long Shots, joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And Wes, you mentioned Michigan, and I think that you're spot on when you say that Purdue should be able to reach a Final Four. There should be high expectations. They're a top three team coming into the season. I think that Michigan, while they're not quite at the Purdue level, they shouldn't be too much further down, and they should be a team, in my opinion, that should be competing for a Final Four, too. We saw what this team was able to do last season. The lone thing that really held them back was turnovers, and bringing in Elliott Cadeau, he's not going to completely light you up from three, but I think that's a point guard that can really solve a lot of those turnover woes, and I think that Michigan, even though they're not quite on the same level as Purdue, I don't think that the gap between Purdue and Michigan is as big as a lot of people think.
Well, they do have returners as well, with Namari Burnett coming back and Roddy Gale, LJ Kason. They went out and got some size too. They got Moriz Johnson from Illinois. They got Ede Mara, who's 7'3" from UCLA. So a lot of transfers right there inside the conference. They're a really skilled group, and they're very solid defensively. They're going to play a little bit differently. I think the turnovers are probably going to go down, because they had the big guy, Danny Wolf, had to really initiate all the offense, because I don't think they really had a true point guard last year in terms of distributing the ball first. You know, they had Trey Donaldson, who was a scorer and is now transferred to Miami, but you know, he had problems turning the ball over. And this year I think that they're going to be better with Cadeau from North Carolina. Trey McKinney, McDonald's All-American, he's certainly going to play. Will Shedder is a stretch four that hits threes off the bench. So Michigan, and I think probably another one I would include in there, because they've got a lot of this European talent coming in. We'll see how the athleticism, you know, transfers over. But that's Illinois, who now has Big Z, comes and joins his brother Big T, the Avisic twins, down low, who both are big guys that can stretch out and shoot threes. They bring in Petrovic from Serbia. Andre Stojakovic, the son of Peja Stojakovic, transfers in from Cal. So they bring back a lot of their minutes, too. I think third most in the conference, 45%. Only Purdue and Ohio State, by the way, bring back more returning production. So Illinois, I think, probably right in the mix from that top four. They just couldn't beat the better teams late in the season. And I think that Duke game in the Garden really broke them, where they lost by a bundle. But Illinois is a team I would have decent expectations for as well.
And then I want to talk about another team that the more that I look at them, the more that I like them, and that's UCLA. And I do think that year number two in the Big Ten, they're going to be a little bit more adjusted to the travel. We'll see if Mick Cronin complains about seeing the Statue of Liberty so much like he did last season. But that's another team where I look at it, and I don't know if they necessarily have that one superstar guy, but it just feels like they've got really good depth. And you were alluding to returners when it comes to the likes of Purdue and Michigan. UCLA has a lot of guys like Tyler Billadue and company, Sky Clark, that come back, and I think that that's going to be massive for them, too.
Well, I think the whole key for them is going to be Donovan Dent, who was one of the better players in the portal, averaged 20 a game for a pretty solid New Mexico club. They took care of the ball last year, is I think what got UCLA back in the NCAA tournament. Seventh nationally in turnover margin, and we know how UCLA wants to play. All these coaches say, hey, we want to run. They're a lot more deliberate with their tempo. They're a very strong rebounding team. Mick Cronin has always put an emphasis on that from his days back at Cincinnati and also at Murray State. So UCLA, I think, you know, is one of those teams that should be right in the mix. They were the best of the four Pac-12 expatriates, if you will. They had the best result, T4, 13-7 in the Big Ten. But the talent, I think, is there, and I think that they have some continuity on that roster. A couple transfers. We'll see if Xavier Booker can finally reach his ceiling. He never really did it at Michigan State because he's a big guy that's not really a big guy, because he steps out there and he shoots threes. He's not a guy that's really a banger in the post, I think, like Billadue maybe could be. But, you know, we'll see if Mick Cronin can finally unlock the key of Xavier Booker. Tom Izzo wasn't able to do that, and that's why he is now at UCLA.
Yeah, Booker has a lot of upside, just was never able to put it together over at Michigan State. And along the lines of talking about UCLA, and I think that this is a really nice stopping point for part one of our conversation. And in part two, we'll talk a little bit more about those West Coast teams. Can they be able to ascend this year? Because I'm actually relatively bullish on all four of them. What can we expect from the teams with new coaches in the conference? And are there a few futures that Wes is liking coming into the season as well? We'll be chatting about that with our good friend Wes Reynolds on the flip side right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Craig H. Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Eeps Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast, being rejoined by Wes Reynolds. He does such an incredible job here at the network on so many different fronts. You hear him on the Long Shots Podcast, he sees write-ups over on Beeson.com, he does some football, he does some golf, he does a tremendous job on college basketball. He took the Big Ten for our college basketball betting guide over here at Beeson, and you're able to follow him on Twitter/X at his first and last name, Wes Reynolds, and the number one all together. And Wes, we left off chatting a little bit about UCLA, and I want to dive into a little bit of a bigger conversation in terms of all these West Coast teams that very much did struggle in year number one in the Big Ten. I just feel like year number two for a lot of these West Coast teams that are in the Big Ten is going to be better. Like with USC bringing in Rodney Rice and Chad Baker Mazzara, who I still can't believe he has eligibility. He's only a few years younger than myself. I'm not even kidding when I say that. Yep, that is going to certainly be able to help them out quite a bit. Washington, they learn that you can't pay just one player in the transfer portal like they tried to do last year with Great Osborne, and we both know Dana Altman is one of the better coaches in all of college basketball, and I just feel like those teams are going to be a little bit better. I want to get your thoughts there, but I do think that with regards to those West Coast teams, especially now a year under their belt of traveling out there to the Midwest and the East Coast, I think that they're going to be a little bit better equipped to be better in this conference.
I agree on all of them, actually. Oregon, of course, they did win 25 games last year in their first Big Ten season. Shelstad comes back. Their point guard, Nate Biddle, comes back. They elected to forego the draft. We'll see how the depth is going to be, because they do lose a little bit. Kwame Evans, by the way, who came off the bench, former five-star player, is now going to be in the starting lineup. So that's the one thing that worries me with Oregon, even though I think that they're an NCAA tournament team. You mentioned USC. This is the transfer portal nowadays. They lose their entire starting backcourt, Desmond Claude and Wesley Yates, who, by the way, go to Washington. So transfer right there in the conference. I'll get to Washington momentarily. Musselman is used to these roster overhauls. Like, he was transfer portal before transfer portal was, you know, really a thing necessarily. A lot of new faces: Rice, Baker Mazzara, Dickerson, who is all Horizon League at Robert Morris. Ryan Cornish was a good 3-point shooter at Dartmouth. So it's pretty much a new team. I think they'll shoot the three better, and the defense will be better in the paint. They did not have a lot of size down there. Now they bring back one of the better shot blockers, or bring in, I should say, Gabe Dines out of Youngstown State. He was second in the country and shot blocking, but I think it's a mid-pack group. They're going to be around the bubble, but Washington, who you mentioned, I think is interesting because they found some NIL money, apparently, because they've got one of the better portal classes in their own rights with Claude and Yates, both coming in from USC. Two conference players of the year at the low major level, East Tennessee State, Kamari Peterson in the SoCon, Jacob Agnesevich from the A-Sun, who was at Lipscomb. You add those guys to Zoom Diallo, who I thought had a pretty solid freshman season, the former McDonald's All-American. And they've got some size, and they got a little bit of depth. And I'm mainly banking on Danny Sprinkle here, who I think has been one of the better mid-low major coaches for years. Made the tournament twice at Montana State, then went to Utah State for a year, and then reality set in. They didn't have the talent in the first year. And then going from that to the Big Ten is a lot, and they were 13-18, but Sprinkle's a proven winner. So they're the team maybe that was in the bottom half, you know, the bottom nine, I should, with 18 teams in the Big Ten, that I think maybe could crawl into the top half and potentially get on the bubble.
Yep, I do think so as well. I do think that they're going to be able to claw their way up, and I'm so glad that you mentioned the middle of the conference. As joining me on the show, we do have Wes Reynolds. He does such amazing work here at VSiN. He's joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, and I just take a look at the middle of the Big Ten, and where Wisconsin is going to be is going to be so intriguing. I'm so glad that you were mentioning Washington, because I think that there's some upside there. Nebraska being able to get Rick Mast back after he was missing last year, they're an intriguing team, and all of a sudden with the Big Ten, we always talk about how the middle of the conference is just oh so brutal and how there's very little separating these teams. I think it's that way once again, and I think that this conference just has a really good middle this year.
I do as well, and you mentioned Wisconsin. They actually have a true point guard finally this year. Nick Boyd comes in. There's another guy I didn't know that had eligibility left, considering he was an FAU starter on their Final Four club a couple years ago. He comes in from San Diego State. So you put him with John Blackwell, and that's one of the better, I think, backcourts in the country, or in the conference, certainly. Andrew Rohde, the transfer from Virginia, is a 3-point spot shooter. Chemistry might be off a little early because you got 9 newcomers, I think, on this team. But I think offensively, this club is going to be good. I think Greg Gard is going to stay committed. I don't think they're all of a sudden going back to Dick Bennett or Bo Ryan Ball, you know, necessarily here. So I think Wisconsin still going to be like that offensively. Another team that's probably in the middle because we don't know a lot about them, because it's essentially, it really is an entirely new team. Not one returner except for maybe a walk-on, and that's my alma mater, Indiana, who, one thing Indiana's going to do is they're going to shoot a lot more threes. They averaged 29 threes a game in their Puerto Rico trip, shot a ton of them against Marion, and that's how they have to play. Mike Woodson liked to play like through the inside, and you just can't play that way anymore unless you just have a completely dominant big guy. You cannot play that way. So entirely new roster. Tucker DeVries is going to lead the team, coach's son. Tucker DeVries can, by the way, can play anywhere, probably in the Power Five in college basketball. But the rest of the guys are mid-major type of guys. Lamar Wilkerson, who is all Conference USA at Sam Houston State, Reed Bailey at Davidson, Josh Harris at North Florida, Josiah Miles at North Florida, Connor Way, who is the Sun Belt Player of the Year at Troy. So they're going to be an interesting team. I think that they're probably bubblicious. They're, you know, they're picked 9th, 10th. I think that's probably where Indiana should be because we have a lot of unknowns. I think the coaching upgrade is there with DeVries, but you still want to see, you know, if these guys, because this is not a roster that I think overwhelms you with talent necessarily, but they've got some grown-ups on the team, and maybe grown-ups is going to be enough for these guys.
Yep, and you mentioned the coaching change over at Indiana, and I really feel like all four of the coaching changes were good in the Big Ten. Now, obviously, Maryland probably not going to be what they were last year, but Buzz Williams, he's a proven winner. He did a solid job over at Texas A&M, Virginia Tech. Probably his best work was when he was in my home state of Wisconsin over with Marquette. That was good. I love the fact that Minnesota finally got a good coach in Nico Medved. I think the world of him. We laid it out with Iowa, and I think that that really does elevate the conference. Maybe not quite to the SEC level, as the SEC and the Big 12, I think, are still creme de la creme, but I think that the difference between those two conferences and the Big 10, much smaller this year than it was a season ago.
Yeah, they're right there. And you mentioned Minnesota. I think they're going to be at the bottom just because Nico Medved, first year, they don't have a ton of talent necessarily.
Could be a team that covers a lot of double figure spreads.
Might be a team that just kind of hangs in there because they're going to be a try hard at least every single night. But keep in mind, they got one winning Big Ten record in the last 20 years. So, you know, the expectations have got to be at least slightly low for Minnesota. And Maryland, no idea what they're going to be. They're probably going to be a lot like Texas A&M where they'll play some unders, even though Buzz tried to get the tempo up over the last couple seasons. But this is a team that I just don't know who could shoot the ball for this team. And a lot of Buzz's teams, you know, couldn't shoot a lick, but they could rebound. And they led the nation in offensive rebounding percentage each of the last two seasons. They'll be a pretty good rebounding team. But this is a hodgepodge. I think this Maryland team, if you're looking for a comparison, they're very much going to be like USC last year, where there's talent, they'll pull up a couple upsets, but they're going to be up and down and likely around 500, I think, for Maryland. So probably a year where they don't make the tournament with all that they have lost. But, you know, we shall see. This is what Buzz Williams does. He, you know, leaves a job about every 6 years and then kind of rebuilds it and then goes somewhere else. And he's done that a lot over the years. So now first year of his operation in College Park.
Yep, and I do think that it is going to be interesting to see how all four of those coaches do in year number one. And Wes, I know you did a great job on the guide, and you know me, I'm much more of a game-to-game guy, so I haven't been giving out a ton of futures on this podcast. Did you have any that you decided to fire in on, or are you taking things a little bit more, shall we say, situationally and a little bit more where you want to see things towards the beginning part of the season? Because I did allude to it, 2,500 players entered in the transfer portal this offseason. I do think that that makes things much more murky in terms of taking futures before the season.
Yeah, a little bit of the latter. I'll have a couple, Greg, but, you know, I'll add a couple throughout the season. You don't necessarily have to rush because, you know, you're going to get these adjustments game by game and week by week with somebody that might be more impressive than you thought and then, you know, getting in that good number. So I don't load up as much as I do. I usually have a couple outrights, you know, to win it all before the season just for some interest. But, you know, a couple conferences. I do still like Houston in the Big 12, despite the losses that they have. I think they're the new standard bearer. Now you're seeing Houston, by the way, finally getting five-star guys. They had one a couple years ago. Jairus Walker is now at the Indiana Pacers, but they got two this year. And plus you add them with Sharp and you add them with the Oklahoma transfer from a couple years ago, Uzan. Houston's still going to be one of the best defensive teams in the country. And they're going to be that mission team because they got close. They probably should have won the whole thing and then just melted down and had four turnovers on the last four possessions, end up losing by two to Florida. So I think Houston probably wins the Big 12, but I'll have maybe a couple conference futures. But that's the thing. You don't have to load up necessarily right before the season. You gradually add, you gradually maybe hedge off some positions if there's some injuries. So you don't necessarily have to load them up too much.
Yep, I'm in full agreement with you there, Wes, and especially when it comes to during the season as well. One or two losses outside the conference, and you can actually get a much better number than you could have ever gotten with regards to the offseason as well, and plus you're not tying up your money for as long as well. So lots of advantages there, and we always get a nice edge whenever you're aboard, Wes. You do such a tremendous job here at the network. You're doing a great job in terms of taking a look at the golf front over on Long Shots. You do a great job, much like myself, on the college basketball front. You obviously are tied into all things football, and congratulations to your Colts on a very nice start to the year. I have to throw that in there, and so much more. So let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you and how people are able to follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, at Wes Reynolds, and then the number one on the end of that on the tweets, HoosierWes77 on the Instagram, as I'm trying to learn how to use that platform. But
us both.
Yeah, you're seeing a lot of Indiana football, beating my chest about them, and on the Indianapolis Colts. In 49 states, it's just football, but this is Indiana. Usually is basketball in there in place of football. It's a football state right now, at least, and that's good to see in Hoosier land.
Oh, absolutely. It has been a magnificent season for the Indiana Hoosiers in football. Who knew that Indiana is now a football state? But Wes, he does a great job on so many different fronts. He did a tremendous job with the College Basketball Betting Guide, and it's always a pleasure to get him aboard. Big thanks to Wes for joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And if you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /X timeline at gunit_81. Keep in mind, letters CM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is sign an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. I am with you guys every single day on this podcast, regular season and off season. We're up to over 2,160 straight days without a missed podcast, so you can bank on there being a fresh episode. We've got every single conference covered with regards to an individual conference preview as well, wherever you're getting this podcast. If you look down just the list of shows, the playlist with regards to all these episodes, you're going to find all of those conference previews in there. All 31 conferences have been broken down, and of course, once we get back into the season, once we get that Monday, the first Monday in November, the picks and analysis on every single game, every single day, they will be back in full force. So I appreciate you joining me today, and I'll be back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much.